I have lots of friends who voted for Donald Trump. I get really, really ticked off at my liberal friends, and not most of them, but there are some on the extreme fringe of the left wing who I had a conversation the other day. Yeah, it was disturbing. Someone who insisted that it's that all Trump voters are racist or misogynist or stupid or bad people, and if Trump does anything bad, they're responsible. I get so sick of that. I get so tired of that. There's an unwillingness to listen to any reason why somebody might have voted for Donald Trump. Again, I don't commend the decision, and I think Trump is the most dangerous person ever to be in charge of this country. I think he is a fascist. I think he's leading us in that direction. I will pull no punches there. But to put all the blame or enough of the blame on the people who support him for one reason or another is so, so wrong. So I came across something I want to share with you. It's somebody named Dark Brandon. I don't know who Dark Brandon is, but he created a clip with a cartoon figure of Jesus, and it was a respectful Jesus. It had a little element of South Park, some of those edgy cartoons, but none of the language. And I thought it was worth sharing, so I am going to share that with you.
Hey there, folks. Hope you're doing well today. You know, I left for 2,000 years. I come back, and somehow my biggest followers are obsessed with a golden idol who builds towers, cheats on his wives, and brags about it on live TV. Evangelicals, what happened? I turned water into wine. You turned scripture into a tax shelter for billionaires. I said, love your neighbor. You said, build a wall. And then handed the hammer to a guy who paid hush money to a porn star while his third wife was home with a newborn. I healed the sick for free. He tried to strip healthcare from 30 million people and called it a win. I fed the poor with loaves and fishes. He fed the rich with tax cuts and called the poor lazy. And yet, I'm the one you stopped inviting to church. Trump once held a Bible upside down in front of St. John's Church like it was a weapon. He didn't read it. He didn't open it. Pretty sure he thinks Corinthians is a hotel chain. But you cheered. You cheered when he tear gassed protesters so he could take a photo. Then you called it defending Christianity. Let's talk morality. You used to say character counts. Then he bragged about grabbing women by the and your response was, well, King David was flawed too. Oh, I know David. He wrote songs. Trump writes mean tweets at 2 a.m. in adult diapers. I preached, turn the other cheek. He said, punch him in the face and I'll pay your legal fees. I said, blessed are the meek. He said, only losers and suckers get buried in war. I told you not to store up treasures on earth. He stores them in Mar-a-Lago bathrooms next to classified documents and Diet Coke. And you still defend him. You call him God's instrument. Well, if God ever used an instrument that bankrupt four casinos and couldn't spell Bible, it wasn't for music. You think I care if he stands with Israel? I'm from Nazareth. That's literally next door. I was brown, Middle Eastern, broke, and unarmed. By today's standards, you'd have called ICE on me and said I was part of Hamas. Let's not pretend you're defending me. You're defending power, comfort, control, and maybe a timeshare in the rapture. You talk about family values, but you backed a man who mocked a war widow, called Haiti a shithole, and told four women of color in Congress to go back to where they came from. One of them is from Detroit. You wanted prayer in schools. Fine. But when kids prayed for their lives during school shootings, he sold more guns and blamed video games. And the worst part? You know, deep down, you know, he doesn't believe any of it. He's not one of you. He's not pretending anymore. He just figured out how to sell Jesus like a hat. You traded me in for a con man wrapped in a flag, holding a Bible like it's a menu at Denny's. I didn't die for this. I died for the poor, the oppressed, the outcasts, the same people you now call crisis actors, and illegals. And let's not forget the golden rule. Treat others like you'd like to be treated. Unless they're gay or trans or immigrants, then suddenly it's religious liberty to treat them like garbage. Trump Tower, how poetic. A name built on sand, pride, and unpaid contractors. You didn't crucify me this time. You just branded me. And when the poor cry out, when the refugees beg for mercy, when the sick knock on your mega church door, you quote me, but you don't follow me. So no, I'm not angry. I'm disappointed. And when Judgment Day comes, don't look for me at the pulpit next to him. I'll be out back, hoping the people you turned away. And just so you know, he's not on the guest list.
Okay, so that's pretty hard-hitting, and maybe a little bit too hard-hitting in spots, but again, I have some pretty pretty conservative friends. I consider Chuck Hurley, a former state legislator, former leader of the family, head of the family leader, I consider Chuck a friend. Some people are appalled by that. I think Chuck's a decent guy. We disagree on a bunch of things, and I asked him one day, I says, so, you know, Chuck, you live a very moral life. You're very passionate about doing good in the world to the extent that you understand. We may not agree on all the details, but yeah, you do a lot of good in the world. I give him that. How do you possibly support somebody like Donald Trump? And this was years ago, before his second election. And I mean, two issues that Chuck cares really deeply about are abortion and gay marriage. And he and I are on the opposite side of those, as you can imagine. But he said, yeah, he admitted that Donald Trump was pretty awful, but he thought he would eliminate, you know, outlaw abortion, and that's the reason he was going to support him. Well, I guess he did that, and we see how that's going. And I guess I would challenge my Christian friends who feel strongly about that issue or any other issue to look beyond the one or two issues that really drive you and look at the big picture here. This is not a moral man in the White House. This is not a paradigm of virtue of any kind. This is not the kind of person you want to bring into your kids' elementary school classroom and give a talk on how to be successful in life. I mean, if Trump did that, if you invited him in, he gave a talk in your school, and he was honest, it would be a pretty awful lesson. Don't be afraid to cheat on women. Don't be afraid to demean them. Don't be afraid to make fun of the handicapped. Disregard anybody who was in the military who got captured. You know, they're obviously clumsy people for getting captured. Line your parrot, line your house, make it be a mansion. Line it with gold. You know, make it as ostentatious and elaborate as possible. You know, and all this there is. I've seen billboards that trouble me so much because it says Jesus is my savior, Trump is my president. And it's kind of, or variations on that, that kind of equate the two, Jesus and Trump, not that different. Or Trump being, not maybe the second coming, but Jesus' person on earth who's going to do his will. I don't know how any devout Christian of any point on the Christian perspective, from Quakers all the way to the most conservative evangelicals, I don't know how you can look at who Trump is, not just now, but in the past, and what he's doing now, and they see anything but the most immoral man possible. I mean, extending tax breaks for the wealthiest? Where in the Bible is that cool? I know Jesus said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. Yeah, I mean, just look at the Jesus of the Bible. Poor himself, helping the poor, feeding 5,000, 10,000 people, depending on which book you read. He does that. Trump and his Republican pals take away food stamps for tens of thousands of Americans, hundreds of thousands. And what, up to 30 million people are going to use their medical care, lose their Medicaid? I mean, the guy is so opposed to everything that I see as the core of Scripture that I don't understand how any Christian can find anything valuable in this president. But that's just me. I'm happy to continue to have this conversation. I will never demean you. If you're listening to this program and you voted for Donald Trump, you will never hear me demean you. I respect you. I understand that a lot of different things go into a decision. I also understand from people I talk with who did support Donald Trump that they're not getting what they thought they voted for. And if you're in that camp, let's talk a lot. We have a lot of conversation. And the most important part of that conversation is how can we work together to address the problems that are being created by a president who is doing things that you did not envision and who is doing things that are in direct contradiction to what you believe as a Christian, if you are a Christian. Anyway, we could have a long conversation about that, and I suspect, and for some of us, we will.